than nothing.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Squat Cobbler, episode 51. I'm Mike at Official Pagan on Everything, and joining me, as always,
as a stumbling, demented child king, hi, I'm Kelly at KELLYTHUL on Twitter.
Kelly, why do you have to get political?
No, I'm getting Alice.
Oh, okay.
In the prep work for the show, those magic words came across again, and I go, gosh, that's good. I really like it.
There are so many great Alice lyrics, and we're kind of wrapping up all the Alice stuff right now for anybody who's been following this with us. And one of the things that we have talked about doing, and I wasn't going to get into this tonight, but Kelly kind of just touched on it again. Kelly has no tattoos. I have quite a few tattoos, but I'm always looking to add more. I really think we should do this Alice lyric tattoo thing.
Yeah, we can keep talking about it. I think if I were to, though, I might just take advantage of since we're going to talk about album covers, the Zipper Catch a Skin album cover, which would give me a full set of lyrics of all the wonderful works that are on Zipper Catch a Skin.
So do you know, let's just say, for purposes of this show, you're definitely going to do the tattoo thing. Just for purposes of devil's advocate here, do you know what the lyrics are that you would get?
Let me ponder that during the show, and before the show's done, I'll offer it up. I want to kind of reflect on that a little more. I would love to get "She Popped the Buckle of My Bible Belt" on, but I just don't know if that has legs. Kind of one of my favorites.
It's a great line, but I feel like with Alice, you know, like you were just saying, like there's just so many great lyrics you could choose from.
But actually, I could probably stay with that song, and it's not a bad set of lyrics to have. I'm a shepherd for the Pentecost. I got my scriptures and my wires crossed.
That's good, too.
That's really good stuff.
Now, personally, and I've mentioned this before, for anybody who didn't listen to the previous episodes, for me, it's got to come from He's Back, Man Behind the Mask. Specifically, it's going to be You're Deep in Love, but You're Deeper in the Woods.
That's a great, great choice, and that's the crazy thing about Alice, and it's the great thing about Alice, is there is a tremendous number of opportunities to pick a lot of pretty amazing, pithy little comments.
And I am 100% going to do this, everybody. And so is Kelly. So, so moving on, before we get started, I think you had some information that you wanted to share with everybody.
Yeah, so...
Also, I love that in this show, we can be 10 minutes in and then start before we get started.
That's right. That's kind of how we roll, which is kind of relevant to the next conversation, which is let's take a minute or two to talk about viewership of the videos. It was very, very interesting to see as Mike and I began to do this, that there was a kind of this consistent growth on my YouTube channel on viewership of the videos. And it's really continued on. Just so you know, Mike, our top most watched video is the Alice Cooper Killer review, where we went well beyond 10 minutes before we got to the review, which might prompt the about 4-to-1 dislike versus like ratio. So we've broken 40 dislikes. We're at 41 dislikes on the Killer video, 12 likes. But we just did clear 10,000 views on the Killer video. So that has been top. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. So 10,000 views on that, Billion Dollar Babies, almost at 8,000. Love It to Death, 3,400.
Oh, and, come on, people. Love It to Death needs to get up there.
Yeah, and, you know, it hasn't had, and these are, we're kind of front-loaded to the early part of Alice's, which, you know, they've been out on YouTube longer, so more viewers, so you'd kind of expect that. Then the magic two of Pretty's for You and Easy Action are the next two most viewed at basically both around 2,000.
Well... I mean, they have a special place in our heart, obviously.
Yes, they do. Constrictors cleared 1,000, Special Forces, Raise Your Fist and Yell, Welcome to My Nightmare. So, and Paranormal.
Welcome to My Nightmare, the first one, or Welcome to My Nightmare, the sequel?
The first one. Okay. The original Welcome to My Nightmare, Plush Fashion. So they've all, you know, they're all over 500 views and a lot over 1,000. And then Killer just cleared 10,000 views. But it's roundly disliked as well. Thank you all very much for listening to as much of this as you could stand. It's been really, really fun for Mike and I to do. And I think it is really cool as we do our last Alice discussion that one of our videos has cleared 10,000 views. So I think I'm pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome that people are appreciating Alice as much as we do and just just checking out what we have to say about it. And it's cool, like, because there's so much, and Alice has done so much, there's so much varied content out there. Not everybody's going to agree with us on stuff, and that's fine. It's okay to be wrong.
That's right. People should become at peace with that, because as we pointed out on our kind of final ranking show, we didn't vary a whole lot. We were in pretty much lockstep. Now, it's not an exact match, but for one third of Alice's calendar or Alice's catalog, it was an exact match. So,
which I'm going to be honest, I was really surprised by. I thought we would have huge, huge variances. And like you said, a third of them we were dead on.
You know, the bottoms of the list look similar. The tops of the list in the middle, I mean, that's in general, but there is such a diversity, and different albums can be kind of taken different ways. And, you know, two of the ones that we differ the most on are one that the one I have a insane, inexplicable hatred for, with Raise Your Fist and Yell. You didn't have quite the same passion that I did for Dislike of that. But then I'm still thrown that the our big difference is Special Forces, because you go back and re-listen to that discussion, and we're not really opposed much in the conversation, but I think it plays into the I'm a little more easily amused than Mike, and Special Forces is not high art. It is, but I find it to be awful enjoyable.
Yeah, see, I really enjoy Special Forces, and I'd have to go back and listen to it again, but I'm not surprised that we're not really on too much of a different page during the review itself. I would guess, without having the list in front of me, I would guess the ranking difference comes more in the fact that there were other albums that just had, in my opinion, stronger, more like serious material on it.
Yeah, Special Forces would never be accused of having a lot of serious material on it. But it was a great concert. It was a great live concert, and we'll be talking about that shortly.
I have a feeling that might be coming up.
Yes, indeed. But before that, we're going to go through, we've warned folks we were going to talk, we always talk about the album art on any of our reviews. We thought it'd be a good way to kind of round things out, to come across with our top five each, and we'll kind of do the same model that we did for our playlist, and that we'll start from the bottom, fifth place up to first place in terms of favorite album art. And boy, there was Mike and I were talking before we started the show, a lot more difficult task than we originally anticipated.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, this wasn't something like the playlist situation where I was really kind of racking my brain and going back and forth and things were popping on and off. But going into this, I would have thought, like, yeah, I can just spit out my five favorite Alice Cooper album covers. It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be.
So how do you want to roll on this? You want to go first, or would you like me to?
I'm going to kick things off with something that I don't think should come as too much of a surprise to anybody. It is Welcome to My Nightmare and Alice's Studded Dildo Hat. I'm just kidding. It would be the original Welcome to My Nightmare. I'm actually, you know, as we've talked about, this isn't one of my favorite albums. It's kind of a middling album for me. But that image is just so iconic, and the backdrop and everything else. That's my number five.
I was surprised kind of when I came back, because that is probably one of the most well-developed graphically. Great choice to have on the list. Matter of fact, you might hear it be on my list here in a little bit as well.
Yeah, I just, you know what? It's such a strong design. It's such an iconic album cover. I remember even, I think before, because my dad, like I said, was more into the Alice Cooper group, and then kind of more or less fell off after Welcome to My Nightmare. He's got a couple things after that, but that's kind of Alice Cooper group to Welcome to My Nightmare. But that album cover, even though that was by far not my favorite, because obviously growing up with the Alice Cooper group records, all of those except for the first two placed above that for me. But album cover wise, that was one that always stuck out in my head. I can always picture that image.
Yeah, and I also thought it was really cool that it was released on a pink cassette, which is just another nice touch.
Which is awesome, and I hope they reissue it on that. There's so much stuff coming out on cassette now. I would love a pink Welcome to My Nightmare cassette.
Alice rocks at the packaging, certainly in the original Alice Cooper group years, and through a big chunk of his, well, at least a chunk of his solo career, some pretty cool stuff as well. Well, my number five will also come as no surprise because of its complete originality, the Raise Your Fist and Yell cover, because no one has ever done artwork like that before. But again, no, that's not mine either. Mine is probably the most complex Alice Cooper album packaging that came out, and that was School's Out. So we've got a school desk, we've got band members' initials carved in it. It opens up, came with all kinds of extra goodies and some great inner puts of the whole package. And, you know, the album cover folds in to be a school desk. How cool is that? So
now, see, you're touching on something, though, that I was thinking and I wasn't sure which way to go, which is, am I considering just the cover or all of the packaging? So for me, I stuck with just covers.
But the school's out cover is the desktop and opens up. So I think I'm still staying with the cover.
Oh, no, I'm not. But you can, you know, use your own methods of choosing the album covers. But that for me was kind of a tough thing because there was a couple of things like overall packaging where I kind of for myself had to kind of push that out and think, okay, I'm at a record store. All of the Alice Cooper albums are up on the rack in front of me. Which ones am I gravitating towards?
Yep. Yeah, and I can still stick visually with School's Out. And I did. So I had kind of the same struggle, and that's why Billion Dollar Babies, which from an overall packaging standpoint, has a lot of cool stuff going on. It's a wallet. It opens up. You've got postcard. I didn't take that into account in evaluating. But School's Out, the cover itself was awesome, and then all the bonus goodies with it as well. So School's Out is my number five.
Okay, and yeah, Billion Dollar Babies is a great example because that is not on my list of favorite album covers, even though that is rightfully so the number two best Alice Cooper album. Because again, I love the packaging, but it's the overall packaging for me. If I take it at just the cover, it wouldn't make the top five for me. But my number four, and again, everybody should have seen this coming. Obviously, it's Trash. Not only a really strong Alice Cooper album, such a striking image of him in that brand new, borrowed from somebody leather vest.
Bedazzled,
very authentic heavy metal. No, it is also, while it's not Raise Your Fist and Yell, which I'm sure everybody hoped it would be, it's an album cover that I would say is almost as ugly, but in a better way. Like, Raise Your Fist and Yell is ugly from just a poor design perspective that it's not satisfying to look at. Like, you don't want to look at Raise Your Fist and Yell. But Constrictor, I would say, has a kind of ugly palette and odd choices and things like that going on. But it's memorable. It's fun. It's very 80s. The color palette, the logo, the placement of everything. I really like it, even though it's not a pretty album cover, if that makes sense.
It does. I think so. The theme on number four is, well, this is probably where we'll agree to disagree in terms of kind of passion points. I've always just struggled a little bit with the Constrictor cover because I'm just not exactly sure if the snake is coming out of his mouth. You know, it's a little unclear to me what's going on entirely there, but it is a cool cover.
I agree. I don't know what the hell that snake's doing. Is it coiling inside of his mouth? I have no idea. It's kind of an ugly album cover, but it's also fun and cool at the same time. Like, it's very, very 80s to me.
Yeah, and so kind of following that theme, the next one's probably very, very 60s or 70s, and it'll be one that probably I'm a little more passionate about than Mike, because I remember when we had the conversation on the show, you were kind of cool to it, and that's the cover for Dada, which gets a hit. Because from an originality standpoint, this is based on a Dali painting, and so it's not breaking new ground in terms of that. But, you know, it's a Dali painting with Alice Cooper in it. So that, to me, makes it pretty cool. And that's the one where it's two versions of Alice kind of looking like a monk / nun-ish kind of thing sitting down, that if you look at it like the Dali painting, it'll also look like a human skull. So I thought it was a very kind of clever idea. I mean, it was already an idea that Dali had done, but it's kind of nice to see Alice, who had a you know, connection with Dali. It was kind of nice to see that. So Dada is my number four.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, because when I was going through the albums, one of the things that I realized that is a recurring theme on my list is that on my Alice Cooper albums, I really like Alice's face kind of front and center. And if you look at the albums preceding, or the handful of albums that precede Constrictor, you don't really have that. You have him on Dada worked into the image. You have him on Special Forces. And then there's a couple albums like Flush the Fashion and Zipper Catch a Skin that don't have Alice on the cover at all. So I really realized in doing this that I like my Alice Cooper albums with Alice front and center on there.
Yeah, and that I'm kind of with you on that. And that kind of is reflected in the remainder of my list.
All right, so that brings us to number three. And number three is, for me, the number one Alice Cooper album, Love It to Death. What's great about, well, first off, you get the whole band on the cover. And what's always been great about this album cover for me, it's not even so much the composition as it is that when I look at that picture, that image is what that band sounds like. Like, they look like they sound. And that's an important thing.
It's a great cover, and I've seen some color photographs of that same photo shoot, and what a tremendously positive choice to go black and white for the cover of Love It to Death, because it just becomes such a greater image. It's just, it's a much, much cooler image in black and white than in color.
Now that you mentioned that, I'd kind of forgotten. I have seen not that specific image, but things from the same photo shoot that were in color, and I completely agree. Black and white was the way to go.
Yeah. And so, as I mentioned, Mike and I talked before about this. This was a little trickier than we anticipated. This cover was one of the biggest challenges for me, because one, I knew Billion Dollar Babies, even though it's the greatest Alice Cooper album of all time, wasn't going to be on the list here. And so the idea of me having Love It to Death on the list troubled me. I could have gotten over that. I'm good with my list, but it was very, very close to being on this list. I would have, in true Mike fashion, provided a caveat that this version of the cover would have been the original version of the cover that they had, where Alice had taken his thumb and used it to simulate a lower torso-based appendage. His thumb sticking out there, and they had to put a sticker over it originally, and then they flipped over to a different version of the photo itself. So there are actually some versions of Love It to Death with Alice having his thumb sticking out in his nether regions, which is pretty cool. And so,
which is back on the reissued vinyl.
So there you go, and that was kind of cool as well. But it is a fantastic cover. It is a really, really good cover. The kind of cover the second greatest Alice Cooper album of all time deserves, in my opinion. So my number three, we won't have to talk too much about it because it's been mentioned already, which is Welcome to My Nightmare. Again, for the reasons Mike mentioned, it's striking. It's got a nice graphical element to it. It's Alice front and center, and it just really kind of captures the spirit. So I'm a big fan of Welcome to My Nightmare. I think the cover is just great, and it has been an image that has sustained itself in kind of Alice world for a long time. So Welcome to My Nightmare is my number three.
Well, my number two was important to me because I feel like in a way I'm righting a wrong, because this is an album that I love, but unfortunately none of the tracks made my playlist. And that was a struggle for me, putting the playlist together. And I kept putting stuff in this album on and taking it off. But I knew it would be on my album cover list, and I did speak very highly of the cover when we talked about it, and that's Along Came a Spider. It's such a striking image of Alice. The angle that is shot at, the cold, you know, blue and purple colors in it, the sort of like combined spider and more current Alice eye makeup that works out really well. Because normally, I, of course, love It to Death. It's the best Alice Cooper album. But the later Alice eye makeup with the sort of straight lines is my preferred Alice eye makeup. But this variation on the spider makeup, to me, really refines and perfects that.
Yeah. Do you recall what album that eye makeup made its debut on in concert series?
The spider?
The Alice Cooper single line eye makeup.
No, Kelly, which one was that?
That would be Billion Dollar Babies.
Oh, so, the second best Alice Cooper album.
It's just something to think about. Because it is iconic, largely because it, you know, made its debut with an awesome album. So, I mean, I couldn't disagree with you more, because my number two, and I had a hunch that our number one and number two might be exactly the same. And so our number twos are exactly the same. Mine is also Along Came a Spider. Yeah, and I can't really add much. It is just so capturing of Alice and the menace of Along Came a Spider. So you get kind of just the makeup, the sinister that is Alice throughout his career, and now kind of tied to this kind of dark album, and the coloring, lighting, and the framing. It's amazing. So I'm Along Came a Spider is my number two as well. And I'm I don't know if I want to go double for nothing on the $2,000 you owe me currently.
Wait, I thought it was like $1,300. It's $2,000 now?
$2,000. It was $2,000. It's $2,000. So let's go double for nothing on the. So this is your chance. Don't change your list. But
I have a feeling we might have the same number one.
I think so.
I thought Along Came a Spider might be on your list. I wouldn't have guessed number two. But I have a feeling we're about to say the same thing, and that is From the Inside.
We are. We absolutely are. And that is cover plus, I mean, the cover itself wins the day. Then you also have cover plus packaging, which is, it's From the Inside's a great album in terms of packaging as well.
Yeah, not only does it kill with the packaging, but even if you didn't have that, if you were just doing the record store rack test that I tried to use for myself, that for me is just, not only is it a striking image of Alice, like it's just, for me, it's something that just sticks with you when you see it.
Yeah. And so my guess is many of you who are listening to this weren't necessarily hanging with Mike and I back in the day, in the early days of Snark Alec Radio, but there was a boisterous relationship between Mike and I in the early days, where Mike continued to struggle, was like, I want to think this guy's 100% a jerk, but I look and I have on the wall where I used to podcast from, in the room where I podcast from, I have 9 album covers up on the wall in frames. And where Mike was struggling was, well, crap, there's like a lot of albums up there that I think are pretty great, but this guy's a jerk, so this is a problem. And front and center is From the Inside, because it is such a great album, completely quintessential Alice.
Not only would I say it's quintessential Alice, and maybe this is something we should think about doing in the future, if I were to put together a list of just best album covers ever, this would 100% be on that list for me.
Yeah, I agree 100%. That might be a fun one to do sometime, is to go through, and I'd probably start by looking at my wall and see, because a couple of those that are up there, I'm pretty comfortable sticking with. But yeah, From the Inside, it's just such a great cover on so many fronts. You know, you get the traditional eye make, or the most common eye makeup. You get the characters that are in From the Inside reflected in the pupil. It's all great. It's just fantastic.
Absolutely. There's nothing. And like Kelly said too, even though I wasn't even thinking in this direction, or trying not to think in this direction, the packaging, even beyond the cover, is excellent. But the image, to me, not only does it grab your attention, it's an image that sticks with you. And if you haven't seen it, you really need to go and look at it, because, you know, like I said, especially on my list, I really pick things where Alice was front and center on it. So it seems strange, if you haven't seen it, to kind of make that distinction. If all of these are album covers with this guy's face on it, like, what makes this one different? You know, is it just subtle nuances? It's really not. It's just a really striking image that's going to stick with you and make you want to hear that album. Like, if I never knew who Alice Cooper was, if I knew nothing of Alice Cooper and I saw that album cover, I would have to listen to that album.
Yeah, it is fantastic. It really, really is. And so I think we'll use that as the thumbnail for our video on this one, because it's great. Not on my list, but kind of close runners. You know, there were a lot, but Dragon Town and Love It to Death were two that I said they were on and off and back and forth there. Were there any other kind of front runners there for you you'd want to mention before we...
The one that popped, the two that were on and off the most for me, and they just switched places over and over again, is Constrictor and Dragontown. I really like both of them, but again, when I'm thinking Alice, when I'm thinking about, you know, if I was to make a wall like you have of just album covers, but just Alice album covers, and I had a finite amount of slots, Constrictor is going to go up there before Dragontown is, just for the image.
Yeah, it's tough, because the one really powerful thing about, well, I mean, I don't know, I guess you can really make the case that Constrictor captures the spirit of Constrictor pretty well. Dragontown definitely captures the spirit of Dragontown as far as the cover goes, like Brutal Planet did as well.
Right. Dragontown definitely captures the spirit of the album, but what's different for me with Constrictor is, not only does it capture the spirit of the album, I feel like it captures the spirit of that time period, like that campy, strange 80s sort of element that was going on there.
It is definitely, you know, you remember it. I mean, you that is a cover you don't miss at all. No.
And again, it's kind of ugly, but not in the way that Raise Your Fist and Yell is, where like I kind of don't ever want to see it again, the album cover.
Yeah, they both appear to have an anatomical correctness issue, whether with the snake or the fist. But it is definitely more forgivable on constricted. I'll give you that.
Yeah, one is fun and one just sucks to look at.
Yep.
Although I don't like the album, but I don't hate it the way the Kelly does.
And I do truly hate it very much. It's the only Alice album I hate. You know, I mean, the first two, there's parts that don't kind of speak to me. But this is the one that just, I don't know, I just have a hard time making my way through it. All right. So I guess it's the much anticipated, let's talk a crap ton about Fistful of Alice portion of the show.
Now, for any of you guys who don't know, I think maybe once Kelly and I may have hinted that we enjoy A Fistful of Alice, which is a live album from Alice.
Yeah, I think it's come up a few times. So how do you want to do this? Because this is, you know, one of the things, and us getting ready for this, that I'm going to lose some Alice Cooper cred here, and I apologize, is that I thought I had it all nailed in terms of knowing kind of what would be considered the canon live album set. But kind of particularly in some of the later years, there's been a number of other releases, and Mike is completely on top of this. And so he's going to kind of take us through. But I think what we're going to talk about the live albums in general, do a little bit of compare and contrast. There's really no sense in ranking them, I don't think.
No, because Fistful of Alice, let's face it, it's number one for both of us. Yeah. If you were, and to me, it's the only one that's a necessity to own.
So I would say in terms of live album purchases, it is clearly number one, but I'm willing to entertain the conversation with you to make the case that actually live at Montrose is also worthy of consideration. It doesn't approach Fistful of Alice in terms of just top to bottom, solid, amazing music all the way through. But in kind of prepping for the show and coming back to it, there's some kind of interesting things about that album that make it also worth considering. But it would be after you buy Fistful of Alice.
Oh, absolutely. So do you want to just go through? Do you want to use the Wikipedia list?
Yeah,
just
let's do that. Right through that. Yeah.
Okay, so everybody can play along at home. Open up Wikipedia, go to Alice's live albums. And we would start off in 1977 with the Alice Cooper Show.
So Alice was incredibly drunk during these performances. They recorded at the, what was the Aladdin Casino at the point in time in Las Vegas. And I had originally, I was in crazy Alice mode and buying lots of stuff. And I got this album and I was less excited about it than many of the other things I was getting at that point in time. And this was right around the time when From the Insides Out There and all that. So there were things to dwarf it. But in prepping for the show, I went back and listened to the Alice Cooper Show. And while not perfect, the set list is pretty strong. And the performance is actually pretty good. Now, the recording, a lot of the later live albums blow it away. The quality's not particularly great. But, you know, this is one of the few live Alice Cooper albums that has Six Things on it, which is a fantastic song. And I actually, upon further listening, kind of give this a little more credit than I originally thought. It's not bad. You've got much better choices, which we'll talk about, but it's not bad. Your thoughts?
So this was I believe the only live album that I was exposed to as a kid of Alice that I was exposed to as a kid. So I enjoyed it just as part of the whole sort of Alice Cooper group experience, working my way through my dad's records. It's not one that I've really come back to though. And maybe I should.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, I remember it. I had remembered it a little more negatively upon going back and re-listening to it again. It's not bad. You know, you get some Vincent Price stuff with Black Widow, which is always awesome. The whole I Love the Dead, Go to Hell, Wish You Were Here combination towards the end is pretty cool as well. So it's reflective. This is, you know, Alice coming. This was recorded, I think, when on the Lace and Whiskey tour. So you get kind of everything kind of back from there. You get a few things from his solo career and a lot of original Alice Cooper group stuff. But it's some pretty decent decent performances, but like I said, the recording quality is average.
Well, that brings us to an unofficial live album that is included on here on this list called Science Fiction. So this, the only reason I'm even going to mention this, because I know it's an unofficial album, for a lot of bands from that period, record labels and music publishers would sell off recordings to budget record companies that would put out like cheap records and cheap compilations of bands' material. And these are usually not authorized by the bands. And the best example of this would be the band Black Sabbath, who is probably, you know, one of my favorite bands and a band that I often listen to and often go back to. And if you go on like the official Black Sabbath website and fan club pages and stuff like that, they'll list their official discography and then they'll list a long list of unofficial albums. And a lot of people get those confused with bootlegs. And really what it was, Black Sabbath's management company would sell off recordings and compilations and things like that to these smaller labels that would make like cheap compilation albums that they would sell, make a couple thousand of and sell somewhere. So they're not necessarily bootlegs, but they're also not authorized by the band and not considered canon. I only mention it to mention that this is a thing that happened. And if you come across this album and it's been reissued under a bunch of different titles, it's not a bootleg per se, but it's not something that's recognized by Alice.
Possibly worth the price of admission is Nobody Likes Me. Always kind of one of my favorite very early Alice Cooper songs. That one is actually pretty cool. And then strangely enough, Lay Down and Die Goodbye makes double appearances on it in two different songs, retitled Parts 1 and Part 2. But Nobody Likes Me is has always been kind of, I think, a pretty cool little song, too.
Okay, and that brings us to Live at the Whiskey a Go-Go 1969. Thoughts on this one, sir?
So this is one I do not have a strong frame of reference on, so I'm going to have you weigh in on this one because this is... I've not had a chance to really consume this one.
So I have listened to it. I am not really a fan of it. I only heard it once. I could be mistaken. So a more completist fan out there can kind of correct me if I'm wrong. But this is actually technically a legitimate release. It was put out by Straight Records, which was Frank Zappa's label that the Alice Cooper group was a part of. From what I remember in the one time that I listened to it, because I didn't own a copy, someone bought it and I listened to it at their place. It was not a great recording. It's not terrible, but it wasn't a great recording. It was just kind of an okay performance. It was more like something from the vault to kind of cash in on for Straight Records.
Yeah, and recorded again around that same kind of time frame as Science Fiction. So you're not going to get some of the goodies that you're going to get in the future albums.
Right. And that brings us to an album you guys may have heard us mention, Fistful of Alice.
Wow. I so love this album because we have mentioned repeatedly not only Fistful of Alice, which I'm going to absolutely never forgive myself for name swapping it with Raise Your Fist and Yell somehow on our last discussion. Just really capturing a lot of Alice live. You know, his songs are great. And then typically when he does them live, they become more than great. And this album really, really proves that out on all sorts of front. And it covers some original band stuff and later stuff, a lot of guest stars, and from a live Alice Cooper standpoint, there is absolutely no place to start except Fistful of Alice. Great cover too, by the way.
Yeah, this was another one that I actually considered for the list.
Yeah, it's an outstanding cover, and it's outstanding. You know, and we've talked about like the version of Poison on this and how great that is. The version of Lost in America on this and how great that is. And you've got Rob Zombie and Slash and Sammy Hagar. What's not?
Yeah, this was actually recorded at Sammy Hagar's club, Cava Wabo, and was even repackaged. This has been repackaged and reissued a few times. One of the versions of it, and probably the most widely distributed other than the traditional Fistful of Alice version, is actually called Live at Cava Wabo.
Which we'll probably briefly mention in a moment. But yeah, this is it, guys. This is absolutely the live album to get. And
yeah, not only is it an incredible performance, but like Kelly said, what's great about it is it takes songs that not only do you get all the hits and all the songs you'd expect, but songs like Poison that I, for one, was not a big fan of, this totally redeems that song for me because every song on here is elevated over the studio versions, and in some cases gave me a completely newfound respect for the song that I didn't have, like Poison.
And more on that concept to come up on a future live album. This one just really hammers it home. And this was, and I've mentioned before on some of our discussions of Feed My Frankenstein, studio version I was okay with, but the version on this album is very reflective of when you see Alice live, and it's just outstanding. So if you haven't
so many any, songs on this to me top the studio versions.
Yeah. If you haven't had a chance to see Alice live, and shame on you if you haven't availed yourself of that opportunity, this is the thing to get.
Couldn't agree more. Feed My Frankenstein, Poison. I would even say Welcome to My Nightmare, which the version of Welcome to My Nightmare that appears on this is more of a medley that incorporates elements of the song Steven, and to me is superior than both tracks in their studio forms.
An amazing execution on this, and it really kind of encapsulates that album in one song, which is fantastic.
I almost feel like we could do a whole podcast just about this album.
We could easily, because it is really, really, really good.
It is, but that's not what we're doing tonight, folks. We need to keep it moving. So that brings us to Brutally Live, which I think obviously followed Brutal Planet, if you couldn't figure out by the title.
And a good, I mean, Alice is hitting he's hit his stride for a long time, but Live Alice at this point in time is great. You're getting a heavy dose of the Brutal Planet world, obviously, on Brutally Live, which is, you know, they're already on the album itself, the studio album. They're monsters. They're cranking, and they're hard songs. And then live, they don't miss a beat, and they do a great execution of it. I've mentioned before the whole Brutal Planet entrance for Alice in a concert's one of the best things possible. So to see, it's really fantastic. It's a very, very solid album, and it, you know, it obviously skews towards the Brutal Planet feel in terms of it. But it's a really good album as well.
Okay, so next up, and we already mentioned this, is Live at Cabo Wabo, which was just a reissue of Fistful of Alice.
Yep, and stick with Fistful of Alice.
Yeah, there's been multiple versions of that released over the years that, you know, swap a track or two here or there. The original Fistful of Alice version is perfect the way it is. I would stay away from the reissues and stick with the original. Not that you're going to go wrong with the reissues, just the way it is in its original form is perfect the way it is.
Yeah, and that was released on the same label, and I guess they must have figured out too it was pretty awesome. And say we should try and milk a little more out of it.
And next up is an album that I feel like Kelly is going to try and convince me I need to give a better listen to, I guess. Not that I didn't enjoy it, but Kelly's saying it's almost Fistful of Alice level. So Live at Montreux, tell me your thoughts, sir.
Yeah, so maybe almost as strong, because Fistful of Alice is the album. But this is you want to add two live albums to your list? I would highly recommend this for a couple of reasons. First of all, Department of Youth, which is an okay song on Welcome to My Nightmare. It's the opening track to the concert, and it rolls out awesome. And it's a great delivery. You got Ryan Roxy rocking it early in this. And so the best version of Department of Youth I've ever heard is on this album. I've also, and I mentioned this, I believe, in the review, when we talked about Woman of Mass Distraction, it was a song I liked originally. But man, Woman of Mass Distraction live is incredible. And the recorded version on this CD captures that incredibly well. So it's the Department of Youth, Woman of Mass Distraction. You get Dirty Diamonds live, which is actually kind of cool. So you're actually getting some stuff later in Alice's career, which is kind of cool. So the big standouts for me are Department of Youth and Woman of Mass Distraction. And then from an encore perspective, much to everyone's surprise, I Wish I Was Born in Beverly Hills makes a return from the inside. And that's just kind of it's fun. And so I think that there are some things that go on there. And also Gimme's on here, and another very good execution of Gimme. So you get a little Brutal Planet, you get kind of a cross-section, you get another good version of Lost in America, not as good as Fistful of Alice, but still very good. The only, I don't want to call it downside, And we didn't pick on this album in particular, but, you know, we've got Between High School and Old School and What Do You Want From Me from The Eyes of Alice Cooper. And those are pretty cool songs, and they're definitely better live. But, you know, stacked up against everything else that's on this album, they pale a little bit. The Department of Youth, Dirty Diamonds, Woman of Mass Distraction, Gimme, and Wish I Was Born in Beverly Hills kind of make it, hey, these are all pretty good listens. And so that's why I'd recommend, as your second choice from an Alice Cooper live standpoint, Live at Montrose is a pretty good listen.
I mean, looking over the set list, it is a pretty interesting set list. A lot of, you know, you have some classic Alice, but there is a lot of later era Alice mixed in there. And I definitely think I'm going to have to give this another listen. It's been a while. I'm definitely going to have to revisit this.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty enjoyable.
Okay. And that brings us to Alice's entry in the extended versions series. Are you familiar with these albums?
I am not. This is again, losing cred, but this was...
Well, I wouldn't say you're necessarily losing Alice cred specifically on this. So extended versions, remember when I said about albums that get repackaged for budget releases? So yep. Sometimes major labels do that as well. And extended versions is a series of albums. I don't know if they still do it, but in the late 90s into the 2000s, well into the 2000s, Sony was pumping out these extended versions releases, they were called. And basically any band that was ever on their label got one of these releases. Essentially what it is exactly what the title sounds like. They take their compilation live albums. So typically when you buy one of these, most, if not all, of the tracks were previously released on something else, but they focus on songs that are longer in their live form, as the title suggests. I've heard it before. It's okay. These albums in this series are worth picking up if you come across one and you're a fan of the band, because typically they're very low priced. You can pick these up new for about $5 a pop. And that was back when record stores were still a thing. So I'm sure it's even significantly less on Amazon and stuff like that.
Get Fistful of Alice.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not recommending you start here, but if you're looking to spend some money and you're looking to pick some Alice stuff up, or any band that you're a really big fan of and you come across the extended versions, they're not bad listens. They're just budget-priced compilations. Now, if you own all that band stuff, you probably have most, if not all, of the recordings on the extended versions releases. So just keep an eye out on what's actually on there and where it's sourced from. But they're not bad releases per se.
Fair enough.
Okay, and that brings us to Theater of Death live at Hammersmith. Thoughts, sir?
So the whole Theater of Death concert series, kind of mentioned in past reviews, there are certain situations that have a special place in my heart. From the inside, I got a chance to see that concert. It's amazing. Special Forces, same thing. I got to actually see, as Alice was prepping to do Theater of Death, I got to see what was basically their dry run of the Theater of Death tour in Elizabeth, Indiana. Very southern part of Indiana. The very absolute coolest part of that was in the morning when I hit the breakfast buffet. The gentleman in front of me was Chuck Garrick, which was like crazy cool from there. But Theater of Death is a great, I mean, most Alice shows are great. Theater of Death was a fantastically fun show. This does a very competent, effective job in kind of capturing the spirit of that. And I really think Alice in the kind of the later years, the performances have been consistently strong. And I think Theater of Death captures what that experience was pretty well. And so it's a good listen to me.
Yeah, it's not a bad album. It's certainly not my favorite Alice album. I wouldn't put it near the top of the list of ones to rush out and get. Probably most noteworthy for Alice fans is that this was a Bob Ezrin produced release. And as far as I'm aware, it's the only live album that he had a hand in related to Alice.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about Bob much on the live side because I just think he's such a studio guy. But that's interesting to know.
Yeah, this was released under his Bigger Picture label, which also put out the Welcome to My Nightmare release.
Gotcha.
So it is an Ezrin product, and to me, that's probably going to be the biggest draw for hardcore Alice fans, just to kind of hear a live record that he had his hand in some way. Another thing, though, and you're going to see this, I mean, with Brutally Live, this was the case in Live at Montreux as well, but the final three albums on this list were all released both as concert films and as live albums. Theater of Death, the one that came out after this was No More Mr. Nice Guy Live. Have you familiar with that?
So again, that's another one. Alice Cred diminishing. No.
I have not heard the album accompaniment of this, but I did see the concert video for this. The video, of course, anytime you get to see Alice and see all the theatrics and stuff, it's great. The performance, I would say, was just fine, though. I think as far as Alice live albums go, performance-wise, there's a lot better that you could do. Not that it's bad, but it puts me more in mind of the bonus material from Paranormal. Like, it's fine, it's solid performances, but there's a lot of great live material to choose from, and you really should start with Fistful of Alice anyway. So I wouldn't put this high on my list of ones to run out and get.
Fair enough.
And finally, that brings us to Raise the Dead live at Bakken. Thoughts, sir?
So now we're in kind of the post. This is Raise the Dead comes from Along Came a Spider. So first of all, how can you go wrong there? Because that's a pretty great album. So you're going to get a little more of the contemporary stuff. I'm okay with this. It's one of those things that's like, yeah, it's not bad, but I would point you back to Fistful of Alice and Montrose as the live albums to go. The interesting thing, you know, with Alice is that you just get a great show every time. And so you go in and a recording like this is going to capture and give you a sense of what it's like to kind of see him live. I highly recommend actually seeing him live versus just listening to a capturing of it. I don't have a lot of depth. You know, this was back again to what some of these places I was a little bit weak on. Not as familiar with Raise the Dead beyond kind of the era it was in. And overall, it's again, another very solid live recording, good band, great music. But there's some magic a little bit earlier in the list.
Yeah, and something that I had mentioned to Kelly before we started this. So for anyone who isn't familiar, Bakken is one of the largest music festivals in the world. It's specifically heavy metal oriented. And for a lot of bands, there have been many, many, many live at Bakken releases from artists of wildly varying stature, from like opening bands to headliners like Hellas. And part of the reason is because Bakken is so heavily attended that even for really well-established artists, it's certainly going to be one of, if not the biggest crowd that they get to play in front of. So even when you go and see Alice, if you go and see Alice at an arena show playing to, you know, 10,000 people, Bakken, you're talking about tens of thousands of people. This is the kind of thing that, you know, the biggest bands in the world don't necessarily get to play to crowds that big, unless they play a festival that size. So I feel like a lot of times bands will put out a live at Bakken release more, not to say that it's a bad performance or that any of them are bad performances, but I think it's more to capture playing in front of an audience that big. But again, you know, if you really want to hear the power of a live show, I got to keep deferring back to Fistful of Alice.
I will not argue with you on that at all. I mean, again, there's not like a lot of bad ones here. I mean, some of the early repackaging, it's like, you put them. But again, if you can get Nobody Likes Me, if you haven't heard that, it's pretty great. You can get it on the compilation Life and Crimes of Alice Cooper as well. But it's a pretty cool song. But, you know, most of these live albums do a fairly decent job in capturing the kind of plus one improvement to songs that you get with Alice Live. So you can't go wrong with many of them. The way you go right is Fistful of Alice, and then in my opinion, Live is Montrose is a second choice. It does kind of capture how these things get a little bit better.
Yeah, and I'm not saying anything negative about the Live at Bakken release. I have listened to it. I think it's a great performance and everything. But like I said, it's not the best Alice live album, and that's not to put it down, just to say that there's great, great live records like Fistful of Alice. Like I said, to me, anytime I see something live at Bakken, to me, you're buying that to hear a band you love play in front of one of, if not the largest crowd that they've ever played in front of. So I'm not saying there's not a purpose to that, but if you really want to focus on the performance, I think that there's stronger things like Fistful of Alice. I have to revisit Live at Montreux based on Kelly's recommendation, but Brutally Live is one that I've revisited many, many times over the years, and I love that.
Yeah, and so Brutally Live kind of packaged or connected with there's a concert, live concert video of Brutally Live. Little fun side story is, you know, I think we've mentioned before that my idea of the ideal father-daughter outing is let's go see Alice Cooper together. And so we've done that a lot of times. And my wife has never joined us on any of these occasions. And so I got Brutally Live and I popped the DVD in and was playing it. And she was like, so this is what they're seeing? Because, you know, it's Alice. And, you know, you got the controller at the beginning and all that. But it's just, it's fantastic stuff. So Brutally Live is a good, is pretty cool as well. But apparently not for the children. Who knew?
Have you ever taken your daughter, and not just to an Alice show, but since you brought it up, to any show in general, have you ever taken them to something where you sort of like regretted taking them to it?
No, because I mean, in terms of us seeing concerts together, it's only been Alice.
So, oh, okay.
So zero regret on my front. The only regret I have is that when I got a chance to go see They Might Be Giants, I wasn't able to swing some extra tickets for them as well. So I no regrets there. There were multiple concerts they've gone to that I have like zero interest in, but that's about it.
Well, that brings us to the end of the live albums. Anything else you have to add to that, sir?
No, except it's the end of our Alice stuff, which is sad.
I know it is. I don't want it to end.
Yeah, and you know, I guess we can bide our time because we're going to get a second Hollywood Vampires album, and then Mike and I can have a discussion whether we want to at least cover the first two Hollywood Vampire albums. And so that'd be a little bit more of Alice-ish material. And we've got to wait till that new Hollywood Vampires album clears before we potentially get any new Alice stuff. It may be a while, but we are excited. We're playing around with this format to continue to go kind of track by track on albums, which is what we've done with a lot of the Alice stuff. And I think we've got a pretty good idea on how we might do that and continue this type of conversation, but with a wide variety of artists.
Yeah, and one of the things that we talked about was doing a prisoner exchange type thing. But something I'm also really interested in is if anybody listening to this has any albums they'd like to suggest, particularly if it's something you think we aren't familiar with. I would love to find something brand new that Kelly and I have never heard before.
Yeah, I think that's great. Great idea. And, you know, it is nice that there's it's not a giant group, but we do have a group of folks that do comment fairly regularly on these YouTube videos. I think all of them, well, except the fuck your beards guy, you know, all of them are pretty awesome. So if any of you do have an idea, say, why don't you guys, I don't know if you've heard it or not, listen to this and do it on it. We would absolutely love to do that. But you got to help us out here and throw something in the YouTube comments to say, this is the album we want you guys to do it on. And then we'll jump on it. And if you're willing to commit, Mike, I'm willing to say you throw something in the YouTube comments and we'll listen to it and we'll do a show on it.
Sounds good to me.
So if you've made it all the way through this and you heard that, awesome. Add something to the YouTube comments and the non-monetized YouTube comments as of a day or two from now. You know, we don't care at this point in time. It's just awesome that we got people listening and interacting, and that's why we do this. So on that note, I'm going to say thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.